Welcome, everyone. This is Russ Kalzel, Chronicles of the End Times. Thank you for being with me today. Today, we're going to talk about some extremely serious things, things that we need to be aware of today, not a year from now or 10 years from now. Those of us who read our Bibles and study the things concerning the coming of Jesus Christ are familiar with the mark of the beast. So much has been said about it. So much has been written about it for hundreds of years. But what's happening today, right now, is something that's never happened before. And you've heard other podcasts on this. You've heard me talk about the coming World Bank digital currency and how close it is. We did a couple of podcasts on that just this past week. But how close is it? We know that in Revelation chapter 13, when it talks about the beast and it talks about the image that's created and those that don't fall down and worship that image are to be killed. And in verse 16, it says he forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. The push for a world currency has never been higher, and the preparation has never been greater. It is actually at the gate waiting to be launched. And anyone that stands in the way of that, stands in the way of globalization, stands in the way of what the elite, those in government, and those in the financial system want, can be moved out of the way. And some might say, well, you know, Russ, we've been talking about this stuff for years and years and years. Way back when, in 60 AD, the Christians thought Jesus was coming back tomorrow. I understand that. You cry wolf for so long, and nobody believes you. But you know that story about the boy that cried wolf? The wolf eventually came and ate him. So just because it's been talked about for years doesn't give us an excuse to numb ourselves to what's happening around us right today. There's been so much written about Babylon over the years, and I've written about it many times myself over the last 40 years. Is Babylon a city? Is it going to come back as in the Old Testament times? Is Babylon the same Babylon that's in Iraq? Is this going to become some kind of giant world system? I think it's becoming quite evident that when it talks about Babylon in Revelation, it's figurative. Babylon is going to be a spiritual center. Yes, it's going to be a financial center and all the things that are prophesied about it. But as we look around today and the pieces begin to fall into place, we begin to realize that Babylon is a financial system that the men and women of this world, the elite, the power people, are going to put together and are putting together as we speak. In Revelation chapter 18, it talks of Babylon, and it talks about the destruction of this Babylon. And at the end, it says, your merchants were the world's great men, and by your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who had been killed on the earth. That's quite a statement. So this is a spiritual realm, this Babylon, because it is credited with the death of all the saints and the prophets. It is an Antichrist system that even existed in ancient times. It just wasn't called that. The financial system that is being set up right now, the World Bank system, the globalization of the world into one controlled currency, is and is going to be part of the great Babylonian system. Many are blinded by what is actually happening in America today, right now. What are the underlying currents that is the cause of all this hate and bitter division? A lot of it is about those that want to change everything that is into a global system. They want one world. They want one world economy, one world government. They want to turn all their control over to AI, and they're not afraid of that, and they endorse it. And there are those who fear it. There are those who have knowledge of the scriptures and realize what's coming. And there are those that have just heard some whispers about something. They're worried about their security. They're worried about their freedom. That is the underlying current that's going on right now. The powers to be, and that's just not in this country, the financial wizards of this world have been working on this plan, and now they finally have gotten there. And to them, it's like a Christmas present they've been waiting for forever. and they can't wait to open it. Now, whether all these people are evil or they're just blinded by greed is something only God can discern. But either way, it's happening. And that is the fear in most people. That is also what creates the great hate. As human beings, we want to make up our own rules. That's in our nature. We want to be in control. When that control rises up, it rebels against rules. It rebels against God's rules. They do not want to be controlled. But here is the irony of it. The very system that they are supporting and can't wait to implement is the very system that will turn them into slaves. I want you to listen to this little piece of an interview that Glenn Beck did with Whitney Webb. Check it out.
But there's an obvious effort by powerful interests to stop nationalist politicians from reaching the highest levels.
You think?
And, I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how do they stop that? I don't know. I mean, unfortunately, you look at the World Economic Forum, a lot of the banks are very gone. Involved. And when you, are in bed with the banks and the banks are in bed with you, it's very hard to go against that in today's world. And, they're making it even harder on the little people in Canada that protested with the trucker protest. They were deplatformed, not from social media, but from the financial system. And I think that's going to become increasingly common. It's already happening to a lot of people that I work with, taken off of PayPal, having trouble with their banks, Venmo. I mean, and I think that's going to, become increasingly commonplace, and that's how they're going to try and force compliance. And, a big part of this, you have the move towards a central bank digital currency and all of that at the same time, which is programmable money. The state decides whether you save or you spend. They decide what you can and can't buy and all the stuff. And all the central banks, even on the, in places like Russia, where Vladimir Putin talks a good game about nationalism and protecting our culture, they're going full steam ahead with that, too.
It's the way you control a population.
Yeah. And I think all these governments are really interested right now in domestic control.
Pretty interesting stuff. You've heard me quote her before and had clips on other podcasts. And in case you do not know who she is an investigative reporter. And she's been in this now for about 10 years, in and out of Wall Street and investigating what other people may not even begin to touch. There's two books out, One Nation Under Blackmail. Very interesting. Two books. They're really deep, very dense. So it's not a novel. It's something you have to really dig into, and delves into a lot with Jeffrey Epstein and some of the things that have been going on in the government and still going on. It's quite revealing. So let's move on to chapter 13 of Revelation, where it talks about the mark of the beast. It talks about the false prophet. It talks about the image of the beast. And I think we need to look at that. I saw the beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had the feet like those of a bear, and the mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power, and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him?" The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nations. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. All those names who have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. he exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on the behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast, who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is a man's number. His number is 666. The scripture is always so amazing every time I read it. Now, just prior to this, in chapter 12, we see who the dragon is, as described, and we see the fall of Satan and his angels. Now, many believe this is describing the original fall, the original battle in heaven, where Satan was cast out, but it is not. It's talking about a second demotion, okay? The first one, he was highly exalted, highly decorated archangel, walking among the fiery stones in heaven, close to God. And most of us know the story. He rebelled. Evil was found in him. The original evil that we're still fighting today was found in him, and he was cast out, and his angels with him. But then later on, we read that he's able to come before the throne. We see that in Job, and we see that in other scriptures. And in chapter 12, he is called the accuser of the brethren. And that's where that comes from. Remember when he was accusing Job? Oh, he's this and that, and he's so holy because you protect him. And he was coming after Job. That's a whole other podcast in itself. But now in this chapter 12, prior to what we just read, him and his angels are now cast out. They're not even allowed to come before the council of God any longer. They are cast down to earth and the atmosphere around it. So, at this point, that scripture that says he is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short is really the literal translation of that. Now he knows for sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that his time is limited. That's where he takes out his fury on Israel and the saints of God that are on the earth. So that defines who the dragon is in chapter 13 that we just read. And we see that this beast rises up out of the sea, and the sea is representative of the peoples of the world in Scripture. And we see that he has 10 horns and 7 heads and 10 crowns on his horns, and each head a blasphemous name. So these are nations, organizations that have come together and that have crowned him. He is crowned with all these. He's been given these by the world. And we see his origin. He says the beast resembled a leopard, but had feet like a bear and mouth like a lion. These are all representative of nations that Daniel mentions. These are kingdoms. The leopard represents Greece. The bear represents the two kingdoms, the Medes and the Persians, and Babylon as the lion. So then we see Satan gives his power and his throne and all his authority to this beast, to this person who we know as the Antichrist. The scripture goes on to say that he gets fatally wounded, but he's miraculously healed and the whole world's astonished. I lived through the Kennedy assassination. Yeah, I'm an old guy. And I know what that was like, and the pomp and the ceremony and how the world grieved, especially this country, just grieved for him. We can only imagine that if he sat up in his casket, what that would do to the world, how astonished they would be. So I kind of liken that to this, where this is a very famous and well-loved leader at this point, and he comes back from the dead, which he actually doesn't, but he inhabits the spirit of the enemy. It's kind of a mock resurrection. You remember, Satan mocks everything that Jesus does. He tries to duplicate it. So it's kind of like an unholy trinity. You have Satan, representing the head, and you have the Antichrist through the son, and now we see this false resurrection. It's quite amazing. And so the world is astonished, and they say, who's like the beast? Who is like this person? Nobody can make war against them. It's amazing. And they're captivated. And it's at this moment when the whole world is awestruck that he makes his move. So in this pseudo-resurrection, which is really a possession, he begins to blaspheme God and all that are in heaven. And he turns his power and his war machine against the saints, against those who love God. Then we see another beast rise up, coming out of the earth. He has two horns like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. He appears to be a man of peace, yet what comes out of his mouth is inspired by Satan and is designed to control the people. And he's able to use all the authority the first beast has. And this person has been labeled the false prophet. And he goes on to make all the earth and all the inhabitants worship the first beast. He performs great signs and wonders, even causing fire to come down from heaven. And because of all the signs, he captures the imagination and the worship of all those on the earth. Now, if you feel this is weird, that how's he doing all these miracles? How's he calling down fire from heaven and all this? I want us to look at Deuteronomy chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. So way back in Deuteronomy, God is warning Israel, and everyone else for that matter, not to be taken in by such things. Because the word of God is the word of God. That's why we need to know it. We need to memorize it. It has to be etched in our heart because great deception has come upon the earth and it's only going to get worse. Let's get to the end of this. So in this stage of euphoric worship, he orders them to make an image in honor of the beast, the first beast that was wounded, yet lived. He gives power to give breath to the image of the beast so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. He also forces everyone, small and great, rich and poor, to get this mark. And at the end, in verse 18, it says, this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. It's the number of 666. Now we know God's number is 7, and God created man. Here, we see man's number, because he creates the image of the beast. And this is where AI comes into the picture. Another fulfillment of scripture. Man's created being is AI. And this is the image. Many times people point to the image in Daniel, that it's going to be an image like that. But as we move forward and more is revealed to us, we realize that this image is not a statue at all. This image is a created image, a computer image. And it's tied in to the financial marketplace. It's tied into all that we've been talking about. God's number being 7 created humans in his likeness. This is man's number 666. Man is creating his own image in this computer system, in AI, and it will be used to control the people of the world. Now, if you feel this might be a little far-fetched, you need to listen to some of the other podcasts and realize that most people, intelligent people, people that are in control of social media, are aiming to have AI provide most of the content by the end of this year. I use AI myself for certain things. It's not the technology, it's the evil people behind it. It's always the way. So we have to sign off for now. I don't want to keep you too long, but we're going to continue this discussion in a couple more days on the next podcast because it's vital, it's important. It's no longer some distant land far, far away. But it is here, and it is among us. And keep in mind, the mission is still the same. Reaching and teaching people to live like Jesus Christ. To bring them to peace. The only person who can bring true peace into your life. This is Russ Galsel for Chronicles of the End Times. Keep looking up. The King is coming.